Okay.
All right, the button has been pressed. The die has been cast. Wait, no.
Well,
no, it has not been cast
consent.
Yet.
But that's because this game doesn't involve me. I think all games should involve me.
Yes, you've already made it clear, Intuxa, that you are involved in all the games. It's only recently that you realized that you weren't the main character in this campaign.
Yes, well, I've got to do something with this executive producer credit.
Just go hang out by craft services. It's fine. It's fine.
All right. They had better have replaced the sandwiches.
They've got green M&Ms again. All right. So, I should probably finish the introduction. Hello and welcome to Cause and Effect.
Yes.
This is the 5th edition homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign. My name is Crash. I'll be your DM/GM for the evening. Tonight I'm joined by a bunch of awesome people. We've got Beth, we've got Crash, we've got Ellie, we've got Io, we've got Jen, we've got Crash. Crash is playing multiple people. That's how being a GM works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ellie.
And Tuxa.
And I'm having a lot of fun, and we literally just started. I love everything about this, except for how Dungeons & Dragons 5e works in Foundry. Or Sigil. Or pretty much anything else that incorporates 5e right now. But never mind about that.
We don't love the pollen.
We also do not love the pollen. No. The pollen can die in a fire, which it actually can.
No, but then there would be smoke.
Yes, there would be smoke and possibly a forest fire or other... I mean, fire.
Right.
The pollen can die in a fire with a proper hood over top of it with a fan involved to pull the smoke away and run it through a filter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what happened last time was you were fighting crystal golems.
Yep.
Yes. You decided to say, we shall pass, and they said, none shall pass. And there was a disagreement about that. So we're starting off this session where the last session ended in combat. And it is this crystal golem's turn. They are a pile of pieces on the ground. So now it's Mech's turn.
Crash,
you're
cutting out.
Uh-oh.
I'm hearing Crash.
I will put the scissors away.
Yeah.
Or possibly I'm cutting out because that was a bit where everyone cut in at once. Huh.
We are running the game with scissors, yes.
No, don't run with scissors!
I was my Kobold Clan's running with scissors champion for 3 months running.
Oh, no.
The entire 3 months running?
Don't run for 3 months, eh? That sounds very exhausting.
I mean, we did have designated breaks that were mostly used for bandaging people who had been running with scissors. The trick is to stab the other ones.
Rather than yourself.
Yeah.
They just stares directly at the camera. We were in combat. It is Mech's turn. Mech is still raging. And Mech, you have one opponent standing.
Right. Okay. Let me figure this out. Hold on.
Okay.
And the character sheet.
I am assuming you're going to want to hit it pretty hard.
Yep.
Okay. So that's going to be the inventory tab of your character sheet. That'll be the second little black tab down on the right-hand side.
Okay.
Look for the great act of intimidation. It's in the...
Okay, let me try to find it.
First section. It's the longest of the names.
Okay, got it.
All right, and press that wonderful attack button.
Okay. Are we doing normal or advantage?
I believe so.
Okay.
Ellie had an ability last... session that gave everyone advantage on all rolls, but I think that was for one turn, and I think that ended. A 21 hits.
Okay.
So go ahead and hit the damage button.
Cool. Right. Damage button.
All right. That's 9 points of damage. I'll apply that. And
You
get a second attack, so hit that attack button again.
Let's see what we do there.
25 is going to hit a bit more. Hit that damage button one more time.
Okay. Oh, got a one. Nope, got a seven. Sorry.
Yeah, with your bonus to damage, that one turns into a seven. I'm okay with this.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and are you going to move around the map, or are you happy right in front of this crystal golem?
I'm going to stay in front of the crystal golem, beat him up some more.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
That takes us to the next person in the initiative order, because we're just keeping it from, technically, combat never ended. It's the combat that never ends. It just goes on and on. My friends, Cavill, it's your turn. Crash, what are you going to do?
Good.
I'm going to discover if I am I'm concentrating on pass without trace.
You seem to be passing.
Only you're leaving the trace of a pile of broken crystal golems.
I'm going to cast Toll the Dead on the remaining crystal golem. I want to find out if it is wise.
It is wise beyond its days? Can't say years. Right, so I'm going to make a DC wisdom saving throw. Well, I'm not going to make it. Not me personally. Neither is it.
Oh, no.
That's a 15. So go ahead and roll your damage.
And I believe it's injured.
It has taken some damage, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's,
Wow.
I forgot that Toll the Dead scales with level, as many cantrips do.
Oh, wow.
That's 31 nice. Points of damage from a Toll the Dead.
To be fair, I rolled very well. I rolled 2 11s and a 9.
Bong.
You hit the resonant frequency of the crystals.
Crunch.
All right. Do you do anything else?
No, let's save the bardic inspiration, etc.
Okay. Next up is Tex, who last session made good use of a bardic inspiration, which I point out because it happens so rarely. Thank you for this bardic inspiration. I will hoard it until combat is over. 23 is going to hit. A 14 will not.
What the heck?
A goading attack again. On a failure, the target has disadvantage on all attack rolls against targets other than you for the until the end of the next turn. So that is a wisdom saving throw. Let me try it out. Would you accept a 2?
I'm afraid not.
I didn't even know you were rope. All right. 16 points of damage.
And that's it for me.
All right. Next up is A. So we're going to do main hand, off hand, and that's 2 psychic blades, 5 through the air. The first one hits, and the second one hits more, believe it or not.
Nice.
Not a critical either.
The psychic blades go snickersnack. Oh, well.
I'm pretty sure they're not supposed to snickersnack. They're supposed to go...
I think that's lightsabers.
Oh, right.
I believe in this universe they're referred to as plasma swords. They're legally distinct.
Poppy is just, you know, hiding her shadow blade behind her back. It's not a dark saber, really.
And sneak attack does 17 points of damage. Really, the psychic blades are just a vehicle for being able to do sneak attack damage.
I'd throw a toothpick if it would work.
Aww. Yeah, sneak attack damage is good.
Speaking of sneak attack damage, Hobby, it's your turn.
Indeed, it is my turn, and we do speak of sneak attack damage. And also, I have to switch back to the legacy sheet because I can't find anything on the weird beyond sheet. Let's see. I need to stab something with, well, I'm not where I can hit that one. This is terrible.
If only you had some kind of movement.
Do you think I can climb it up this one?
I mean, you could try.
Let's see.
It has taken some damage, so you might be able to get your claws into some crevices.
1, 2, and yes, I would like to try to, just want to open my character
sheet.
Give
me an acrobatics roll.
Okie dokie. Normal. No.
Well, that was a 16. So I'm not quite sure why you're saying no.
Because I rolled a 7?
Yes, but you have plus 5 and a plus 5 from various things. So.
Well, okay, a 16, I suppose, can,
Yeah, you didn't roll a 7, you rolled a 6, but you had plus 10.
Oh, I rolled a 6. Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
But in any case, yes, you managed to climb up the front of this thing. It has its arms up. The fist equivalents are together like it's about to slam down on probably Tex. It looks like it's going to try to hit Tex. For some reason, it seems to be preferring to go for Tex specifically.
Who knows why?
I don't know. And when you crawl up, you crawl up through the loop in the arms.
Yes.
What was that, Ellie?
Tex?
That was not anything. That was me taking the cat off my lap so I could throw away an apple core.
boo interference.
So, I like in our most recent Star Trek game, which is on Tom's channel, I think there was only one of us that didn't have a cat get involved during the show.
That's traditional.
Yes.
Bobby is going to scale up this thing, wrap her legs around its neck, the better to, and probably hang on with one hand, the better to brandish her shadow blade, which is hopefully back here somewhere so I can click on it, and stab it in the face with a little, hi there!
Okay. you have a very strange way of saying hi, and this lets us know a lot more about the dynamic between you and your sibling.
Uh-huh. I mean, okay, there we go. All right, so let us try attacking with the Shadow Blade, and let's see if this works. I don't think I get any advantages on this.
You're a rogue, right?
Yeah.
Is this creature currently engaged in combat with somebody else?
Yeah, but also I want to use sneak attack, and I think I don't get to use advantage if I'm using sneak attack.
Okay, one, you do not, I think, get advantage just because something is engaged in combat with somebody else, unless
that's pack tactics.
You do not have pack tactics.
Mm. Right.
However, sneak attack does not consume advantage.
Oh.
If anything, sneak attack is additionally triggered by having advantage.
Yes. I've explained this to you several times, I think, but
this doesn't mean that I remember.
Mm. Correct.
So I
Look,
should...
I don't understand how to make a character hit. In GURPS. It will not.
Okay, so I should do this again because of the advantage part.
Because the GM is allowing
That will additionally not help.
It's so your blade does go snicker stack, but it keeps bouncing off
it's
of
scratching.
the crystalline coating around the head. We do know that there is like circuitry and metal armature inside of this, but you're not getting through
Obviously.
The crunchy outer shell. Someday you will break into this Kinder egg.
Yes, I'll just be in its face, and I will do the Bill the Cat at it, so, you know.
All right.
Maybe that will make it even less able to hit poor Tex.
Well, apparently its eyes are, they might be there for aesthetics only, because it's already aiming at Tex, and it's the golem's turn.
And I don't think I have any bonus actions that I can do to be annoying, do I?
So it is going to make two slam attacks. The first one is a 17. The second is a 17. Tex, does the first one hit?
Well, of the 17 and the 17, neither of them beats a 23.
Okay. I wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure if either of them would make it. I thought one might, because the different values are 17. Okay, that's its turn. We're back up to the top of the initiative. The pile of bits of crystal and circuitry settles a little bit. Now it is Mech's turn.
Okay, let's see what I can do with that. Use the great axe again. Probably still raging. I don't know how long that lasts.
It keeps going for a while, especially if you are hitting or being hit, and you've been hitting.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to attack it. And we have 16.
All right. A 16 just barely misses.
Okay. Well, I can see that, you know, Javi's sitting on the head of this thing, and I don't want to, like, hurt a friend. So, you know.
A wise barbarian once said to take the head off. That's how you know you've killed it. But you can't take the head off when your friend is wrapped around the neck.
Yes.
So you had to aim for... Yeah, you had to aim for a different part of the body, and the armor was a bit thicker there. So you smacked it, but the axe bounced off. But go ahead and roll that attack button again, because you get two of those.
Go. Have well,
21 is going to hit. Roll your damage. Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Let's see. Damage.
Oh, 17? Well, that's a lot more damage. That's 17 points of damage. That's okay. What we get when we don't roll a one. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. This thing is starting to fall to pieces. Like there are way more chinks in the armor that are appearing.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I'm going to attempt to like slam one of the arms and see if I can break it off.
Well, you've already done your two attacks.
Right. So she's just thinking about it, you know?
Well, with how much damage you did with this blow and how much damage has been done to this.
Yeah.
I will say that, yes, in fact, you do take off one of the arms.
Okay, cool.
It doesn't fall to the ground because the other arm is current when the two hand equivalents stuck together so it could try a slam attack against Tex. Mm-hmm. They're still holding together. So the one arm is dislocated completely from the body, except that it's being held in place by the hand. That's not where it should be at a juncture, and it's putting a lot more strain on that other shoulder. Because all the weight's on that shoulder.
Right, right. Okay.
Okay.
Probably all I need, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cavil.
Mm-hmm. Well, Toll the Dead was very successful last time. So let's try that again.
This is where we end up getting a nat 20. Come on. We kind of need one of those. That is a 7. That doesn't work as planned. Or it does, depending on whose plan you're talking about. Go ahead and roll that damage.
A much more normal 14 points. Bing!
Its logic processor is now trying to add 1 plus 1 and trying to figure out why it's getting 3. It's because it's AI. You look at the hand equivalent, you notice that there's way more than 5 fingers.
Oh, that's the problem. It's trying to make an intelligence save rather than a wisdom save.
You will find no intelligence here. None of the intelligences. And according to Gardner, there were 7. Every now and then I have... There's a saying, if you have a pocket watch, you have to pull it out of your pocket and slam it against the table every few minutes so everyone knows you have a pocket watch. I have a degree in education, so every now and then I have to point out to everyone that I do, in fact, have a degree in education. 2 of them, actually. But never mind about that. Right. So, anything else, Cavil?
No. Not this turn.
All right. That takes us back to Tex.
I am trying to conserve resources a bit for the
bandolier of magic missiles.
No, for the
additional encounters.
Additional encounters that we are attempting to seek out.
That's fair.
There's a chance that they'll all be 100% personable, polite conversations that are made with charisma checks.
And that will go better for them.
The GM said, staring directly at the camera with a straight face. Anyway, it's Tex's turn.
I have a strong preference for not destroying an enslaved intelligence. If you can surrender, please do so.
Give me... Look at your character sheet here.
I used that persuasion roll you rolled earlier.
But I'm not going to ask for persuasion for this one. Give me... Your perception is higher. Give me perception.
Okay.
With the 17, they do have some complex algorithms controlling what they do. But you are not seeing signs of independent thought.
Gotcha.
It's possible that given enough time, one of these might awaken, but these are fairly new off of the assembly line.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Yeah, both of those rolls are going to hit, the 27 and the 21. And I will tell you that you're able to perceive that you probably don't need to use another maneuver for this. You might do enough damage to just take it down if you roll well enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that one roll. That How do you want to do this?
Well, Hobby's up there.
Yeah, Hobby lands on her feet.
I mean, you say that.
Well, no, I'm just saying there are areas I can't hit because they're squishy in between the hammer and the gold.
You can't use your hammer to smash it in half vertically.
Right. So I'll smash it in half horizontally.
There you go. Hobby, you are suddenly 7 feet closer to the ground than you were before. Please roll me an acrobatics check. With a 15, I am not going to say you do it particularly gracefully, but you still land on your feet.
Hobby shrieks, "Whee!" and lands on perhaps all fours. This counts as feet for her. She's fine with this. Yeah. Her tail was pinwheeling, though.
Oh, yeah. And it's perhaps a bit fluffier than it usually is.
She might be giggling, though.
All right.
Her tail is puffy. It was pinwheeled. She arches her back and looks carefully to see if the thing is dead.
Oh, yeah. This thing has had enough structural damage that there's some parts that are apparently still connected to a power source. And so there's sort of like there's little lights that are blinking or something, but nothing that is motorized is currently functional.
Bobby stands up on 2 feet and brushes herself off.
Okay.
Smooths down her tail.
Yeah. A is rummaging through the pile of debris looking for loot.
Ooh, this one's shiny. Wait.
A pushes on it with their fingers and it snaps.
This is glass. I thought it was emerald. This is just green glass.
Tough glass.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of it. It's strong like a gorilla or something.
I suppose we could pick up the crunchy bits and throw them into a polishing machine and then we get pretty polished green glass, but I don't think it's going to be worth much.
Or we could just go to the beach. There's stuff like that already there.
Well, yeah. This would be artisanal glass golem glass, but...
Let's put that on the to-do later pile.
Okay, so we're going to go sneaking in, huh?
Yep, this is A's time to shine. I was born in a tunnel, I think. I don't remember a lot.
You might have been born in if not a tunnel, it might be an underground chamber.
It was definitely dark.
Smash cut to the birth of A. It's a very brightly lit chamber. With a glass ceiling. That's not canon. I'm going to reveal this. Or can you already see it? I think you already see it.
Yep, I see it.
So A says that it's their time to shine as they lead you all into the tunnels. I will not require anyone to make a roll to see if A actually can figure out the way to go.
Oh, no.
It becomes very obvious that A does not know the way to go when 30 seconds later, you're back at the entrance.
Oh my gosh. Somebody is killing robots too, not just us.
Pretty sure these are the same ones, but also I thought we were going the right way.
Perhaps we should take a few moments to gather our wits.
Yeah.
I think I left them around here somewhere.
Well, you do throw those psychic daggers. You should retrieve them.
Well, they're not made of brain cells. Or are they?
I mean, presumably they come back to you at least over time.
X sets down her shield and hammer and sets down against one of the tunnel walls. If you have a knife and fork, I suggest you get them out.
Oh, snack time.
A pulls out a psychic blade and a psychic fork.
Hobby is
I call it the Nork.
Hobby has in one of her pouches some dried sardines she will share with A. She'll offer to share with Cavil.
I'm good, I think.
All right.
More for us. Curious.
That's a joke about the short rest icon in.
I was about
D&D
to say.
Foundry.
Yeah. You may press the short rest button if you wish. This is a great time to, if I don't think any of you took damage, did you?
Oh, yes.
Tex?
Oh.
Tex and Mech did, oh. I think. They seemed to be down.
Oh, yeah. Tex did, right. Because yeah. Tex kept saying, stop trying to hit me and hit me, and then they said, okay.
Yeah, the first one hit me a couple times, but not enough to really consider, like, I didn't even use Second Wind.
And someone, when they take a short rest, gets back 4 superiority die.
It's true.
It's A.
I had no idea.
Oh, no idea. Of course. Of course.
Mm-hmm. A starts taking levels in fighter just to be like Tex.
Aww.
I'm going to make a goading attack. Wait, A, no. You are still very squishy.
Whoops.
It doesn't mean they have to hit me. It just means it's much, much harder to hit anybody else.
Mm-hmm. A uses goading attack and then uses the bonus action to hide. That would actually
might work. A reasonable strategy.
Yeah. That's a pretty sneak. That's, yeah.
Come on and hit me.
Yeah,
wait, change my mind.
Hide and seek, you're it.
The giant keeps turning around trying to find A. A is standing on the back of their ankle. Stabbing them and using a goading attack over and over again.
That would be fairly clever.
Gonna put down notes for a future character of mine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. All right. So, everyone who's... okay, hold on. Mech, do you want to take a short rest as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll press the button for you. Would you like to spend some of your hit dice to fill your hit points back up?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. I don't know what this will do, so I'm going to click the auto spend HD button and see how that works.
Okay.
Hey, check that out.
Oh.
It rolled one die, and that topped you off because it was a 12 on the D12. Right.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Good
so
roll.
She's all set then, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So anyone else want to take point and find their way through the cave?
How about we mark our way with chalk so that we can methodically follow the left-hand side?
Oh. Can anyone press to take some chalk?
I mean, probably. I think I've got some here. See? I think. Maybe. Is this chalk? Well, we can always carve out a chunk of the wall or something.
Well, however we do this, Tex rolled a survival check with a 21.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was a nat 20.
Yeah, that was a nat 20.
That was a nat 20? Oh, yeah, even better. I mean, it wasn't an advantage, but I was going to say roll at advantage no matter who was rolling because there was this idea of, oh, we're going to use something. So I figured, hey, that'll work. I think Tex has something that just allows Tex to roll survival at advantage. Doesn't Tex?
Yes, it's called inspiration.
There we go. I'm not counting this laugh to give you inspiration back. It's going to happen sooner rather than later anyway. All right, so Tex goes in and it becomes very obvious to anyone except for apparently a tabaxi and a kobold that when giant robots are the primary vehicles for carrying things around in a cave system, they leave great big footprints and move debris to the side with regularity. So there's not a whole lot of traffic to this entrance, but once you go in a ways, you can find the path that is normally taken by the other giant emerald robots and very quickly deduce, hey, if the house that we're going to is up, then we probably want to take the path that slopes up and you just head up. It works pretty well. And as you are doing that, you come out into something of a ledge and you very quickly see why the mine was considered to be the best route to go, because there's the ruins of an old set of stairs that were carved into the mountain to wrap around the outer edge of the mountain that they go for 1.5 steps, and then the railing goes considerably further before that also ends. Maybe don't go down that way. Well, Cavil can. Technically, Cavil all of you cheats. Can.
That once. Should end without...
yeah.
Without your friends, yes.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to press the activate button. Da-da-da-da! And now you're looking at another map.
Yep.
Ooh.
Shout out to Seafoot Games, who made this map and provided it for free on their website. And
they have a Patreon.
They have a Patreon. You can get more of their maps through the Patreon. But this one is free to show their skill level, which is very, very good.
Yes. Seafoot Games. S-E-A-F-O-O-T. Yeah.
Yes. Because it's an audio medium. So we can't just say, hey, check out the Patreon of this person who's on the screen right now. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, I have made some artistic liberties to how this is arranged because I put in the walls. The space you're on, yes, there are tiers of rock there, but you can traverse all of this that you can see right now. Cavil could fly higher if Cavil wanted to. And this path curls around the edge of this part of the mountain. You're not at the very top. It goes up much higher than this. But it curls around to the east and north. It is...
Should I be using my dark sight?
You should be using your dark sight, yes. It is
okay.
Very dark, very stormy. There are a ton of clouds here. The clouds are thicker here than they appeared to be when you went into the mines. It's almost as if they are coalescing around this spot. And there are multiple blasts of lightning hitting poles that you see extending up over the ridge that is to the northwest. You also see some glowing orbs of lightning that are sort of hovering around those poles and occasionally getting struck by lightning, but they seem to be trying to get struck by lightning.
I think I found where that other thing came from.
Great.
What if we just don't bother them?
Probably a good idea. This is why Hobby has made a stealth check. Ooh, and A has made 27
to 23. How long does Path of Trace last?
10 minutes, I think.
I've had to recast it since we did a short rest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did do a short rest, so it would not still be functional. Unless it is recast.
Oh, no, it's an hour. I mean, it still would need to be recast, but...
Okay, and I am adding you all to the initiative just so we can keep track and not leave anyone out of a conversation. So if you can go to the cross swords and click on the die.
Mm-hmm.
Normal.
I am not throwing an enemy at you right now. I just don't want to leave someone out.
Oh, right.
Sure what I did.
Let's
see if it popped up. Nope, didn't work.
Okay. Well, click on the cross swords icon in Foundry over on the right. Mm-hmm. And then look for mech. Mech is at the very bottom of that list of characters. Mm-hmm. Click on the D20 icon on the right, to the right of mech.
Okay.
And when you do that, click normal.
Would you?
There we go.
Would you kindly reset mine?
Reset yours. Clear initiative. There we go.
Thank you. Okay. I'll take two.
All right.
I'm supposed to roll an advantage and forgot. And it wouldn't let me roll again.
Works for me. And now we just are waiting on Cavil.
Oh, yes. Initiative.
All right. All right. So, as I said, the path you're on curls around the mountain, going towards the north and a little bit to the east. Mech, it is your turn. You can move up to 6 squares. All right. Next up is Cavil.
How far up can I go?
Well, there's a whole bunch of those lightning things up there.
Oh, okay. The lightning things are up above us
If
right
you go up
now.
High enough, they'll probably see you if you go up too high.
Okay. And have we been walking too long for Pass Without Trace to still be up?
We took a short rest, so you'd have to recast
A short rest. I didn't take a short rest. I thought you were talking about a previous short rest.
No.
Oh, no, this one.
Tech suggested a short rest, and... Mech and Tex made good use of that time. If you want to retroactively take a short rest, you can.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah. And I will figure out how to drop concentration.
It's there in the go. Lightning bolt point. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Two, three, four, five. I will wait here.
All right. It is A's turn. A uses a bonus action to hide.
Okay.
Uh-oh. It's on a thing.
All right. It is Tex's turn.
Tex is going to have been letting the rogues go ahead, but at A's consternation, is going to advance ahead of A.
Okay. As you advance in front of A, you see what A saw, which is there does appear to be some structures up ahead. There's a very tall wall with windows through which you can see glowing green light and one or two of those crystal robots that are just standing there. You also see a small path that leads up in that direction. There appears to be some debris and overgrowth. This area does not appear to have been tended in some time, even though it seems to be mostly structurally sound. And, oh yeah, there is another one of those crystal robots. It is facing away from you and appears to be walking to the north.
Okay. Do I see the other thing that I see?
When I was describing the building, I clicked on your character to see exactly what you're seeing. When I described that building where you can see through the windows, those streaks of light that you're seeing, that's you seeing through the windows.
No, I mean there's a surprise along with the construct.
Ping the map where you're seeing a thing.
I will do my best.
Ah.
That is not a ping.
That is not a ping, but you do see the thing that you have selected, to your point of view, looks like some type of debris.
Okay.
You can go ahead and roll a perception check to see if you can discern more details.
Okay.
With a 24, that looks like a body. But it looks like it's been trod on a bit, and parts of it have ripped apart, and those parts appear to be stuffed with straw.
Well, that's creepy. Am I using that word right?
Yeah. Oh. Yes. I don't know what you saw, but I'm going to say that if you think it's creepy... It probably is creepy.
I'm trying to be less literal with what I say. It is not creeping. It is creepy.
I am agreeing with you.
Very well.
Okay. It is Hobby's turn.
Hobby would like to continue with that 27 stealth check.
Oh, yeah.
One. The diagonals count as one or two moves?
One.
Two. I get five, right?
Yes. Well...
Sneak around Texas legs.
You get six.
Three, four, five.
You get six total because they're 5 foot squares. Beep. Okay. All right. Do you do anything from there?
That thing is walking away from us. No, I'm just going to stay here and be a sort of hidey creature.
Okay. At the end of your turn, it continues to walk away from you.
That's useful.
And now we are up to Mech's turn again.
Okay, I'm going to go closer, I guess.
All right, you can move up to six squares. Double that if you are deciding not to make an attack.
Hobby is whispering to Mech when Mech comes there that one of them's walking away from us, since Hobby saw it move away.
Okay, well, we'll just see what happens.
Okay.
I would hate to knock over a possibly sentient creature, you know, if they're just walking away.
Mm-hmm. But they're not attacking us.
Well, they're not attacking you, but also they didn't see you.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
They may yet attack us.
Who knows? Maybe they just say hi by smashing your face in.
Terrible way to say hi.
They have very durable faces. So to them, it's just like a high five to the face.
Oh no.
It is Cavill's turn.
There we go.
Okay. I'm going to move Magpie over to you before I forget that Magpie is on the map.
Yeah, that's
a good idea.
Not that we ever forget that Magpie is on the map. There are actually multiple Magpie icons on some maps because we kept forgetting. All right. Next up is A, and A is going to continue to try to be sneaky.
I think they're gone.
Next up is Tex.
I will make an attempt to be sneaky.
That's a 15 on the die.
Apparently is decent.
A does not jump A's full height as you walk past A. Actually, wait. No, I'm going to roll for that. A stifles a yelp.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm going to roll a stealth check at disadvantage. This is how I do GM intrusions in Dungeons & Dragons. Have a lower level helper NPC. Stealth check at disadvantage still got me a 24. So A successfully bites their tongue to keep from yelping in panic when Tex just sort of looms past A silently. Like a smooth killer whale.
And those are smooth.
Or a smooth shark.
Because sharks are canonically smooth in this campaign setting.
Mm.
Is there anything else that Tex is doing other than potentially ruining everyone's ability to be stealthy? Because you're too good at it.
Keeping an eye on that scarecrow.
Ah, yes. It does not appear to have moved.
Yeah, they do that.
It is Hobby's turn.
Do I have Hobby's to make another stealth check yet? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Ah, you've come
with
within...
a little green dot on top of the thing.
Yeah, that's because...
the squished scarecrow.
The green dot appears... well, various colored dots will appear on top of a character when another player has clicked on that character.
Ah.
So,
I see. It's
yeah,
not
Ellie
just
clicked
part
on that,
of the landscape.
Yeah, Ellie clicked on the scarecrow icon, so that we have the green dot. No, it's fine.
Hoppy would like to pause here and squint very, very hard at that scarecrow thing to see if it's some kind of, hello.
I can't beat that roll.
So, for the record, listeners at home, that was an 18 on the die, which led to Hobby rolling a 30.
On perception check.
For a perception check. This scarecrow is in tatters. It has been stepped on. It has been torn apart. You might be able to tell more when you get closer, if you get closer. But you've heard of scarecrows. They are constructs usually possessed by some malevolent spirit, if I can speak properly.
Sniff, sniff.
But
you know,
this
smell, hearing.
Scarecrows are very good at playing dead, but with the amount of damage that you can see from here, in spite of the storm, you're not sure the word playing is appropriate.
Hobby would like to do a thing, which will hopefully not set off an alarm. A thing.
A thing.
Well, from this distance, you can still also see that crystal robot that's still walking away from you.
Hobby would like to use... let me just make sure that I'm within range. 5, 10, 15, 20... yeah.
You
Hobby
cast
would like to use Invisible Mage Hand... no, Invisible Mage Hand to basically tug gently at it as if the wind were attempting to blow to see if the head is still intact.
How much can a mage hand carry?
It's either 5 pounds or 10 pounds, and I can't remember which.
5 pounds
it
is
can't
sufficient.
Attack.
Okay.
It's a 10-pounder. 10 pound
give me
is what it can drag.
Give me a dexterity check.
Okie dokie.
I'm not going to do acrobatics because that would imply that it was you doing it, not a spectral hand. With a 10, which is a
10.
5 on the die, it does move.
Yeah.
You have seen things move in a storm like this before. But it is not moving like it's in this storm. It has its own personal storm that is pulling it in directions that the wind is not going in.
Yeah, well, the wind is gusting around, so this is where the wind is gusting on me, but it doesn't match the grass and also, whatnot over there. Oh, well.
Also, it might be caught on something, so you can't pull it towards you at all.
I mean, I mostly just wanted to see if it has a head still, since if it's sufficiently torn up.
Mm. Well, you rolled a 30. There is a head there somewhere. The hat is long gone. Somewhere very far away, an old man sees a straw hat flying through the air, snatches it up, and goes,
"Well, this is great. I gave my last one to a capybara."
I love this game so much. 75% references to other games by volume. Asterisk, maybe as much as 100% by volume.
Ask
your doctor if references to other campaigns is right for you. All right. So that is Hobby's turn. After Hobby goes, this golem's going to go 1, 2, 3. Everyone hears a door open. 5, 6. And
ooh,
a door
Hobby's
closed.
Perspective can see it a little bit. It walked into the room.
Yeah, there are our windows. So
Hobby is probably flattened against things.
Okay. Mac, it is your turn.
Went into...
Well...
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was passing the turn on to Mech, but then Beth had one more thing to say.
Oh, okay. So
Hobby, you possibly could have seen Hobby making little gesticulations as of a rogue, an arcane trickster, using invisible mage hand to manipulate something.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to go up a little bit closer.
Okay.
If I can.
Are you going to try to be stealthy?
No.
Quomp, quomp, quomp.
Jen, do me a favor. Roll 2d20.
2d20?
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2. If I did that right. Oh,
well, that's 3d20.
There's a 20.
I'll take the first 2.
Okay,
well,
cool.
Here's the thing. I asked you to roll 2d20 because this way I didn't have to have you find stealth on your character sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I would just math 72. It. But you were rolling at disadvantage.
Okay. Oh, I was?
Yes, that's okay. Why I had to roll 2d20. Fun fact,
okay. There's a 7.
The barbarian murder bot has a +8 to stealth.
Yep.
That 7 is a 15.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
You're not trying to be sneaky. You're just naturally ominous. And what's more ominous than people not knowing you're there until it's too late? The answer is people knowing you're approaching but can do nothing about it.
Yep.
All right. So if you are not doing anything else, it's going to be Cavil's turn.
Yep. Cavil is just going to 1, 2, 3 continue sneaking around in back of the party.
I like how Magpie was moving with Cavil, sort of. But somehow the distance increased as you were moving. That is an odd little bug, but I'm here for that. Like a small child wanting to run further away. You need some type of harness for Magpie.
Yeah.
I know my target audience. It's the people who are in the game with me. You're welcome.
Yes.
Okay, and Cavil, you also see the scarecrow up ahead at this point.
Concerning.
They are on the ground. They are in pieces. Cut scarecrow into pieces. Something, something resort. I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Does the tried and true method that is the right of any inquisitive creature and begins to poke the scarecrow with a stick. It does not react. It is Tex's turn. Tex just slides up past A again. A does not jump this time. A is wise to your tricks.
Alligator to smooth shark. Alligator to smooth shark. Do you copy?
Copy, alligator. What's your vector, Victor?
I said it wasn't going to be long until you got your inspiration back, and I was right. Okay. This distance, Tex, it is incredibly obvious that this is an ex-scarecrow. You can investigate to learn more about its demise, but you do not need to make a roll to understand that this thing is inanimate. Permanently so. However, you also see a bunch of things that are standing or in some cases laying down, over there to the west, including an iron golem.
I do see that.
There are also, I mean, you can see it, but not everyone can, and it's a audible experience. You see more buildings that are around. There is the structure that you could see to the north before. It is made of stone and mortar with large glass windows and green light coming through. There are, you can see, I believe, three different emerald constructs in there that appear to just be standing in place. There's also a lot of crates in there, and there's green beams of energy that kind of look like lightning, except green, that are flying off of structures that are behind the windows, like behind the walls, so you can't see them through the windows, hitting these constructs as they're just standing still. Off to the west, beyond the collection of constructs that are just sort of staying there, you could see a more circular building that also has a lot of windows, and there's a lot more green lightning flying through there, although you can't make out a lot of details in that room. And to the southwest...
I know what I see to the southwest. I'm going to ask you not to describe it, because it's going to be cooler this way.
Well, you definitely do see a circular building.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I am going to hold my action until after Hobby goes.
Okay. Speaking of, it's Hobby's turn.
Well, Hobby will go slink one, slink two, slink three behind this underbrush, slink four. And honestly, she's going to stand pat there and observe everything and go sniff, 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 and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Should I make a perception roll? Is there anything more if I perceive?
You definitely can make a perception roll. For our listening audience, Hobby has gone around a bit of a ledge, and the map has some underbrush, as you described. It also has a sort of shallow incline that you're on right now that comes to a crest a little bit further to the southwest of you, although not enough that I would consider to be difficult terrain. Just you could probably do a hide action here and not be seen by somebody looking through the windows.
I think Hobby would like to do her hide action here. She can do that as a bonus action.
Certainly. And with your perception check, I mean, that's not as good as their last roll. That's only a 27.
No, it's only a 27.
Yes.
It's sad.
So which direction are you looking? Are you looking at the building to the north, the building to the west, the building to the southwest, or at the various constructs?
Try to keep an eye on everything, but is particularly interested in the various constructs in the middle there, because, I mean, those might be the first things that try to start hitting us.
Okay. Well, with a 27, I mean, yes, clearly you see the iron golem that is there. You also see some what looks to be a warforged. You see what is clearly a gargoyle. You see a couple things that you personally did not encounter them, but after everyone got back together, after the mitosising of the party, there were some strange constructs that were trying to repair a giant colossal robot. Yes, I used two synonyms for the same thing to describe it, but it was valid because of how large the thing was.
It was extra big.
Yes. Well, these sort of match the description of the constructs that the other half of the party encountered after the mitosising. And there's also one robot that kind of looks like if you had a warforged that was a gnome.
Oh, dear.
None of them appear to be moving.
Hobby is going to look over her shoulder at Tex and see if she can flick her tail in such a way that other things won't see her, but Tex will. Either that or she's going to have to use Mage Hand to poke Tex gently. Honestly, she might use Mage Hand to poke Tex gently.
Well, Tex is about to turn around, so she can see Hobby.
Mm-hmm. try to, in such a way that only Tex can see through all that underbrush, wiggle hands in the questioning sort of way and point at the collection of golems and whatnot, because she could poke one of those with the mage hand.
Okay.
She's going to wait, however, until Tex gives the nod.
Tex, having turned around now, holds up a finger and then uses her flagstone.
All right, we have those. Hobby forgot.
The GM certainly did not forget, and I don't know why anyone is insinuating this.
Tex is calling member services.
Member services? Oh, what broke this time?
Nothing yet. I need to speak to a bard named Jen E. That's J-E-N-E. Please put her in contact.
Okay. Would you like to stay on the line, or should we call you back when we find them?
I'll stay on the line.
All right. Please hold. Ding.
Dun, dun, and I think that's probably as good a place as any to break.
Yes, we break here. We'll come back 15 minutes from now. You'll still be on hold. All right, so pressing the button now. And we're back. So usually we take a 5-minute break and then we keep it to 15 minutes and definitely don't keep it to 6 weeks. But here we are. It's fine. Jen, unfortunately, could not be with us right now because most likely pollen. Even if it's not specifically pollen, we're going to blame pollen because pollen... Also construction, I think. But allergens. Yay. So, where we left off, Tex was calling member services to try to get a hold of a Modron referred to as Gen E. That's a nickname. Technically, their name is 8675309. Yes, I thought that was a very funny joke when I named that Modron multiple campaigns ago. Yes, I still think it's a very funny joke. I have not changed that much over the years. So, as we return, Jen E is getting on the line. Hi. You were calling?
Yes. We are approaching a building full of what appear to be hostile monads. Is that the right term? And I am concerned that we may be causing an international incident if we have to fight them. Can you advise?
I am unable to tell you specifically what Modrons, and the term is Modrons, not the other word. But
I apologize.
It is fine. Most people have not encountered Modrons other than myself. I have learned. I am usually the first one, which is a shame, as I am irregular. What do
as
the,
am I?
Pleased to meet you. What do the Modrons appear to be doing currently?
Well, from what I can see through the window, they are operating a device that seems to be summoning lightning storms. There are also many cons. Okay. Nope, that's not the button I wanted to click. Hang on, I gotta check something.
Tex accidentally rolls acrobatics. That's not true. Okay. With a dirty 20, when you look through the window at the Modrons that you can see to the southwest, well, yes, they are near a device that appears to be radiating a lot of green energy, but they do not appear to be moving at all. They're just standing there.
Allow me to correct myself. They appear to have been operating a machine such as that. However, at the moment, they are not doing anything.
So they are powered down?
Yes, I suppose so. Well, that is the assumption I make simply from seeing.
Remaining stationary is inefficient. Usually, when Modrons are not given a specific task, they are kept in storage on a different plane of reality.
I see.
Usually the plane of logic.
That is useful information. Thank you.
So, I would be wondering if they, and the stutterings are getting more prolific. I'm not just getting more into the role. This is becoming more obvious to you. You do not need a role for this.
Gotcha.
Would like apologies. My
perhaps I had better let you go.
Defect is related to speaking about drones.
I understand. Thank you very much for your time. I will let you go. Please have an excellent afternoon.
Jen E's goodbye takes another 5 minutes.
Aww.
Well, time to go for another 6 weeks.
No, you hang up. Jen E has a specific backstory that I made when I created the character, and it has not been revealed yet.
Aww.
Yeah. Anyway. So, to summarize, it'd be very weird if they are here on official business because they wouldn't just be standing still. They would be doing something.
Right. So if they try to hit us, we can probably hit them back.
Quite possibly. Also, you know of at least one Modron that's gone rogue.
I'm sorry. I know of at least one Modron that's gone...
rogue. Well, technically gone bard, but you know what I mean.
Yes. All right. The Modrons in the circular building to the southwest do not appear to be moving at the moment, which may mean that they are inoperative. And according to our friend Jen E, there is a strong likelihood that they are not operating with the sanction of the plane of logic.
Kidnapped, fooled, or...
I don't know.
Should we try to contact them?
I think perhaps at the moment we should explore the other buildings first.
Can we not explore the one to the north? There's at least three of those big crystal things in there, and two of them took an episode and a half for us to defeat.
Yes. Let's explore the one to the west. Although, if Cavils, Crow, Magpie, Raven, whose name I've forgotten?
Magpie the Crow.
Gotcha. That's why I was having trouble.
I've turned the name on for Magpie so that it should always be revealed. For no other reason than it's the only way I can keep from losing track of where Magpie is on the map. They're a tiny black smudge.
That's fair. Cavil, if you would be so kind as to send your Magpie, mm-hmm. into the building to the north as reconnaissance.
Where are there two Magpies now? Oh, now there's three.
Lag.
I'm lagging.
Yeah, there are two Texas, too.
Don't mess with Texas.
But I want to.
There we go.
I advise against it. Also, I'm having to reload for reasons.
Okay, Magpie moves to the north. Currently is on the stairs for a little walkway that goes around the side of the structure to the north, which is dug partially into the mountain. Through the window from here, Magpie can see that there is grating on the floor that appears to be used for drainage. There's a statue on the far side of the room with doors on either, well, with stairs on either side of it that lead into a hallway. The statue is holding a lit brazier that is glowing a little bit, but most of the light in that room is coming from some type of machinery that is emitting some type of green energy field that the three crystal robot things are standing in. They are surrounded by boxes of things that look incredibly heavy, as evidenced by how there's like cracks in the wood, as if somebody tried to put, I don't know, 2 tons of ore into a 1.5 ton crate.
Take 16 tons, and what do you get? A broken floor?
Well, if your floor breaks, you probably will go deeper in debt.
Yeah.
Well, you will go deeper, regardless.
There will certainly be deepness.
All three of the robots seem to be remaining completely stationary. Although one of them was moving, you watched it walk into this room earlier. Okay. Hobby, what are you doing?
Let's see. Tech's just moving there. Hobby would like to be dry.
Yes. Since the break, I have been taught how to turn on weather effects in Foundry. So it was raining before, but now we have a constant reminder that it is raining.
It's pouring. How high up off the ground is the building to the south there? Basically, if I slink over, can I use the base of it as cover, or would I be visible through the windows?
You could choose to be visible through the windows. Like, they are low enough that you could stand on tiptoe and peek in, but they're high enough that you could hide under them if you wished.
That's what Hobby wishes to do, to go, let's say, get how many squares do I get?
I'm going to wibbly wobbly it because we're not in combat right now. So I'm going to guess you want to be, yeah, there. As I'm saying it, you move your character. Wow. Okay.
I count five, so.
All right. And I'm going to count Magpie's movement as a reaction to Tex making a suggestion. Almost like how Tex can tell someone, hey, you should attack now. but otherwise, I'm keeping the initiative from the first half of the session just to make sure I don't skip over names.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellie is reminding us that Tex gets to roll perception at advantage because of Sentinel Shield. I didn't remember the name of the ability, but I did remember that you had that. So I was only confused for half a second when I saw 2d20 being rolled. So next up is going to be
I constantly forget that I have it.
I mean, in Pack Tactics, we constantly forgot that the characters had Pack Tactics.
Had Pack Tactics, yeah.
Yeah. Cavil, it is your turn.
Cavil is going to have Magpie explore a little more and is going to relay what Magpie sees.
Okay. Your microphone is doing the whole cut out and give little staticky click things. But
better?
It sounds great for a while, and then right at a crucial moment it goes out, but I believe you said that Magpie is going to continue to explore as you look through Magpie's eyes.
And relay. And Kevil's going to relay what Magpie sees.
Okay.
I heard the relay part.
So Magpie has gone around the side of the building. On this side, there are two closed doors and no windows. Also, this walkway is about 10 feet wide with a, well, high for you, not high at all for a giant crystal robot, ledge that would keep the average person from falling off the side into the, well, if you look over the side, you're going to see some clouds. You are above the clouds. Congratulations. So you wouldn't exactly see where you'd be landing, but it would probably be bad, except for Cavil, who wouldn't be landing because Cavil flies.
It's convenient.
Very convenient.
Cavil should probably go up. That's a wall. This is not a wall.
Yeah. The pathway that you can see on the map, that should not be walls as well. Is that a wall? That is not a wall there. Yeah, you could make a beeline towards Hobby if you wish. There's no walls between you and Hobby. That is an incline. There is undergrowth there that you could hide in if you really wanted to. If you laid down flat where you are, you would not be visible to anyone looking through windows in the building to the southwest. But it's not enough of an incline for it to be difficult terrain.
Crouching down flat doesn't seem like a bad idea, actually.
In my head, Cannon, you crouch down flat and still are not touching the ground because of the boots are flying.
That sounds awkward.
I didn't say it was practical. I said it was headcanon. And because we're talking about your character, my headcanon is still just a headcanon. It's only actual canon when it's my character's. Or it's a war forge with built-in artillery, usually in their head. Then it would be headcanon. But never mind. Okay. A is going to slink forward because it's their turn. And they are going to go tap, tap, tap on this iron golem right here.
It doesn't seem to be moving. Are you awake? Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? Parlez-vous français?
I don't understand your crazy moon language.
Hablas Esperanto?
Popolaranto.
Kobolds don't have
my favorite language. Part of that joke. Yeah, but they could have made up a language on the moon.
And it would be a crazy moon language.
All right. Next up is Tex.
I assume the Iron Golem is not...
It remains completely stationary. And Tex...
And now the poor dead scarecrow on the ground is calling Jenny.
Oops.
I will not make the joke that came into my head. But in any case, Tex, you are way closer to all of these constructs. So at the start of your turn, give me another perception check. All right. So with a 22, I would have told you to roll at advantage, but I didn't have to. You already do. These constructs are not just inactive. They are, for the ones that can be disassembled, it looks like they were disassembled without the intention of putting them back together properly again. Not to destroy them, because then it would just be, oh, it was disassembled with a sledgehammer or something. Panels were taken off. They were not put back on. Parts were pulled out to see the inner workings, and some of them were shoved back in, but kind of like how, like, imagine, if you will, a suitcase where you pull something out of it and closed it back up again without trying to make sure everything was packed so that you could put the lid actually in its latch position again. They're just here degrading in the environment. The golem, which has no real internal working parts, it's a giant lump of iron that is magically animated, does have chunks that appear to have been carved out of it, with like the edges of it are in straight lines. So it wasn't a hack job, unless the hack you're referring to is a hacksaw. Similar to the gargoyle that you see. Gargoyles don't have like internal working parts. They're stone. So there's parts that are cut off, possibly with some type of chisel. But it looks like these were cut open to see how they ticked. Or didn't, in the case of the ones that don't have internal machinery.
Chris, it's Stephanie.
Hmm?
That is now an obscure joke.
Cursed Stephanie?
Curse it, Stephanie.
Oh, sorry. Still obscure to me.
No disassemble.
Oh no, no disassemble. That one is not obscure to me.
Well, unfortunately, as it turns out, there are 7 constructs out here, including the scarecrow. So one of them is number 5.
No, no disassemble. Number 5. Well,
too late.
Hey,
we must avenge number 5.
You should know that in the round building to the west, there is another large emerald golem.
My very tall one.
Perhaps we should check out other structures.
So there's crystal robots to the north, a crystal robot to the west, and Modrons to the south. I don't see any other buildings.
There is a door to our west. I don't know where it goes.
I'll go knock.
I don't think we should knock.
Or I will first, when it's my turn.
Let's let Hobby have a turn.
Hobby, you are crouched under a window.
There's 2. Is there a door?
There is a short flight of stairs that doesn't, like, goes up maybe like 2 feet that ends in a very large set of doors.
And they're closed?
They are currently closed.
Okay.
There is a very large keyhole in the set of double doors.
5. Can I go zip and 6 and hide right here?
I haven't seen you move yet. Ah, yes, you can hide there.
Crouching amid the debris and attempting to look like just more debris, thank you.
So you went from hiding under one window to going past the stairs and the doors to hide under a window on the other side of the doors, which there's nothing wrong with that. I am simply saying this because this is an audio media.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm editing, I become very conscious of the fact that when we're using a map, like Okay, I go to here. All right. You've gone to there. Okay, your turn. I go to here. Okay, you're there now. Where do you go? I go over to here.
Please imagine a soggy, not true black. She's sort of a brindle, you know, not quite tabby, but, you know, kind of tab-esque. Soggy shadow going through the underbrush around the base of this round place, observing these low steps flowing over the banister, zoop underneath, you know, just past the door, zoop over the other side of the banister, and now crouching in the shadows in that particular soggy place. Attempting to look like just another soggy, sad puddle.
Give me a wisdom save as you go past the doors.
Ooh, wisdom save, huh? Okay.
This is mostly for comedy's effect.
Advantage or disadvantage or normal?
Neither. Normal.
Public roll.
Okay. 18. Dirty 20. Because
dirty
you have
20,
a plus 2.
Very nice.
The difficulty was 5. But as you go
peek
past...
Into the...
No, not to peek. The difficulty was 5 to prevent you from going up to the door and pawing at it, meowing plaintively because you wanted in.
I don't want in there.
The rain is out
one.
Here. The rain is not in there. In there looks warm.
I am a sad, soggy creature, and I wouldn't paw plaintively. I'd pick the lock.
with the extra large lock picks.
That would be where you stick your paw in and manipulate the tumblers.
Yeah, it's large enough that it definitely looks oversized, but not so large that you can stick your whole hand in, unless you're a sprite.
Fingers.
Or a Dr. Pepper.
Ooh.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
This means that obviously... Okay, so little nature spirits do have a tendency to have, nature-themed names, like mustard seed, etc. So if one gets a doctorate, you could probably indeed have a Dr. Pepper, the Sprite.
This is making me think of the thing that Matt posted a few days ago about the party that was basically the 100-acre hoods.
Yep.
Because each
the
of them
is going, no.
Because each of them fit a theme for a character from Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
Which is public domain now, so you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do it before and just say it's parody. And parody law, if you can, you know, Disney's lawyers could still make you bankrupt. But that's besides the point.
That's if you, now it's only, they can only do that if you use their exact
You can't put
visuals.
A red shirt on Winnie the Pooh.
Right. Or at least you can't do it if Winnie the Pooh looks like, you know, their Pooh. I don't know if Pooh is said to have a red shirt or not. Maybe he's
Well,
just
I'm not examining it. I told the paladin to flush and didn't worry about it.
Maybe it's just a bear.
It's A's turn. Which is the best way I can react to this.
It's not Cavill's
that
turn?
That is... Oh, you're right. It is Cavill's turn. How'd I... I must have triple-clicked on the button for going to turns instead of double-clicking. Okay. So it is Cavill's turn. Never mind.
How tall is the building?
So you've got...
Or is it built into the mountain?
It is built into the mountain, but large parts of it are sticking out. Like the tower to the southwest it butts up against an outcropping from the mountain, and most of it is freestanding stone masonry. It goes up a good 30 feet into the air, maybe a little bit more. The interior floor is maybe 2 feet off of the ground that's considered the outside.
I have found darkness.
It's your old friend. You should say hello. Where?
This
where
little hallway bit.
Ah, okay.
And apparently that bit doesn't reveal. I can fly into it, but there's no reveal.
So Magpie flies through the darkness. This appears to be some type of natural crevasse that goes into the mountain a ways. Partway in, it looks like there is a hallway that comes out of the mountain. It goes from hallway to outside walkway because they were digging through and the mountain stopped. Go figure. So that's a curved route. But then, actually, hold on. Can I move Magpie to here? Can you see that better? Or no? Or did Magpie just disappear entirely?
Magpie's disappeared.
Okay. So for some reason, you can't see through Magpie's eyes, according to Foundry. But we're not going to worry about that right now. What you do see is this curved walkway that comes out of the mountain from the east, and then it turns into a north-south walkway. At the north end of it is a door, and at the south end of it is a door. And in the middle, it's this bridge that goes over top of the crevasse that Magpie is flying over. It does have a wall going around it, but there's no roof on top once it comes out of the mountain. And I'm going to see if I can take a screenshot to show you what Magpie can see. This is not going to be a complete view. Excuse me. This is not going to be a complete view because spoilers, but there you go.
Interesting.
Thoughts?
I think I do not want to continue down that turn, and I do in fact want to pull Magpie back.
Okay. Does Cavil do anything?
Cavil will try to creep up to maintain some kind of pace with the rest of the party.
Okay.
Being above the level of the windows easily, presumably.
With the boots of flying, we just see Cavil crouch down, gliding underneath the windows without moving at all. As if the animator took a single cell and just drug it across the background. All right, so it's A's turn. Because Tex suggested a thing, A is going to move and bonus action dash to here.
I think I can pick this. Should I?
Sure. Let's find out what's behind it.
Carefully.
Before you finish your sentence, you hear a, oops.
Oh, no. That was an at one.
It's okay. I just broke a lockpick or several.
Wait for me. I'll mage hand them out.
It's a bigger than usual lock, so I thought I should probably just tick all the lock picks and stick them all in at once. And so they're all in there now.
Just wait there. It'll be okay.
Except for the parts that are still in my hand.
Don't worry. I'll get them out just as soon as I get there.
So, yeah. A has no more lock picks. Or has twice as many, depending on how you went to parse that sentence and that nat one roll. Next up is Tex. Yeah. And I am still being wibbly wobbly on distance. So I just saw Ellie measuring that it's 40 feet to the door that A's at. You can do that in a single turn. I'm not going to fret about it.
Oh, I can do that in a single turn regardless.
Well, yes, but anyone who can move 30 feet could still do that in a single turn. I mostly said that A was going to bonus action dash because, well, A was a little bit further away. And also to emphasize that A was moving at breakneck pace, possibly on all fours, because kobold.
Okay. I'm emphasizing that Tex has a 40-foot walk speed.
A ran over on all fours. Tex just looms over.
Strides.
Yes. Tex comes over like that animation of the three people walking.
Yes.
Well, you are now in front of a door. What would you like to do?
Well, at the moment, I'm here to provide moral support to A. If we continue to not have success picking the lock, I may try to break the door down.
I was going to say, you have alternative means for... but you can transmogrify the door into splinters. You are many levels higher than when you bounced off of that other one. And also, that was made of metal. This is not.
Wood?
It does have some metal reinforcement, but it appears to be mostly wood. Based on the size of the lock, probably very thick wood, but mostly wood.
Hobby would like to sneak over when it is Hobby's turn. Hobby has feline agility.
It'll be Hobby's turn as soon as Tex says that Tex is done.
Tex is done.
All right. It's Hobby's turn.
Hobby would like to use the invisible mage hand cantrip to start picking out lockpick pieces from the thing there, which I believe that Hobby ought to be able to see because of Where is that? That's a feature.
Oh, you can definitely see the lockpicks because they broke off, but they broke off with the end sticking out of the lock just enough to show you, yeah, this lock is full of lockpicks.
Well, even if I couldn't see them easily, I have the blind sight thing. So, okay, let's start pulling them out with Mage Hand.
Okay, give me
Invisible Mage
sleight
Hand.
Of hand.
Invisible tweezers.
Give
Invisible
me sleight
tweezers.
Of hand.
Sleight of hand, sleight of hand. Sleight of hand is in my attributes. Normal, I presume?
Yes. So,
a mere
with
17.
A 17, you have successfully unlockpicked the lock. Which sounds like it means you locked it, but it doesn't.
No, it does not.
Okay, I'll put this half of the broken lockpicks in with the other half of the broken lockpicks.
Maybe we can fix them later. Don't worry. Everything is a learning experience so long as we survive it.
I mean, I made them out of old clothes hangers, so...
Oh, let's get you some better ones, huh?
And this one was a bobby pin.
We're going to get you some professional ones when we get back to
this
the flag.
This one was a Barbara pin.
Well, I mean, you gotta have Bobbies and Barbaras. Do you have a Frank pin?
I'm saving up for one.
Okay. Don't worry, we'll get it done.
Those pins are really matter of fact, so they cost more.
Uh-huh.
The GM will award himself one luck point.
Are you allowed to do that?
I heard you laughing, so yes.
Well.
Also,
fine.
I'm the GM, so there.
True. I assume Hobby will have to do her own lock picking on the next turn round, giving people chances to do stuff.
If you had said that you were attempting to pick the lock, I would have had you roll at disadvantage because you were trying to remove lock picks and pick the lock at the same time. But
no,
making
no,
it take longer in two steps, I think that would be a reason to not have it be disadvantage. Okay.
Okay.
Hobby, you're up. Not Hobby.
I am Hobby.
Cavil.
I mean Cavil.
Yes. Hobby's turn has ended. Cavil's turn begins. Both names were in my head because of this. It's fine. We're all fine here.
Mm-hmm.
Cavil? Eo?
Yeah.
You okay?
Cavil will stay in the back of the party.
Okay.
Good.
Cavil actually will stay over here in the corner, where when the door opens, they will not be in immediate line of sight.
Good okay. idea.
Magpie lands on your shoulder and lets you know how they feel about the rain.
Wet. I don't suppose this is an enclosed nook here with the door. Is there a archway over us?
There is something of a low archway. Well, not low. It's at the top of the doors and going out for about 5 feet. But yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
And the construction was built so that rain pours or flows away from the wall versus towards it to keep it from puddling up. So you're not even standing in wet right now. Well,
Hoppy is so glad.
The stone under your feet is a little damp, but it's not a puddle.
My paws are not going squish, 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 splort, splort, splort.
I mean, they are because of what you walked through to get here.
Yeah, I am a trained rogue. I can ignore this when I have to. And also, there may be a place to, there may be something dry on the other side of this door. In any case.
A may or may not shake like a small dog. Thus getting you more wet anyway.
That's all right. I can shake right back.
A does that as a bonus action on A's turn, by the way. And as a free action, A accepts the moral support that Tex is here to provide and doesn't do anything else because A has no lockpicks and therefore cannot help with picking this lock. Aww. It is now Tex's turn.
So has Hobby actually made any progress?
Yes. I cleared the lock.
Oh, okay.
It was full of broken lockpicks. Now it's not.
Hobby is reaching for her own lockpicks now.
Now it's going to be filled with lockpicks again.
More carefully, hopefully. If I get another one, it's going to be fascinating. Yeah. We'll see what happens if I get a nat one.
I am holding my action until after Hobby goes.
The action will be kick the door once. Look, the door is now a hallway.
Oh.
I made a bridge.
Oof. Say when it's so Hobby goes now, huh?
Yes.
Because Tex is holding action. Okay, yes. Hobby would like to pick the locks.
The GM would also like Hobby to pick the lock because that will move the plot forward. So please go ahead. Yes, roll sleight of hand.
Okay. Normal. How's a 17 on the die?
How's a 27, you mean? Yes, you have successfully picked the lock. There is
obviously it is because I got such a good roll because I was observing how everything was working as I was taking out the lock picks. So there.
Why are you not letting me open this?
And then I will drop down, probably because we're too close to it.
Oh, because I was just clicking on it instead of right-clicking on it.
Ah.
I was getting the doors locked sound. So please continue what you were saying.
As soon as I finish picking it, I am going to hunker down so that I am a small, dark thing, so that if anything is in there, which doesn't appear to be, oh, great, they will see Tex looming there, and they will hopefully ignore the small kobold and the hunkered down tabaxi. Instead, see that it opens into a small square room full of barrels.
It does open to a small square room full of barrels. Lots of barrels. They are stacked up to the ceiling on the south wall, not quite as high on the north wall. By the way, I do want to share this last bit of information about the lock. Because it is oversized, it gives the most satisfying reverberating click sound, almost a ka-chunk sound, when the last tumbler falls into place.
Hobby honestly winces. Hobby is not fond of loud locks. Hobby prefers the tiny little sound.
Alas.
That most people can't hear.
Alas, that was not the case. Also, alas. When the tumbler falls into place, it's tagged Super Who Lock.
Mm-hmm. This is terrible.
All right. Tex, is there anything you want to do now? You were holding your action.
When you have a moment, would you please see what's in the barrels? I think I will go to the north.
Okay. Cavil.
Cavil will do as requested. And make Havel make an investigation check.
Most certainly.
Well, that was a 4 on the die, so I got a 17.
I keep forgetting that you're all, like, very high level. So stuff like this is
expertise.
Going to keep happening. Yes.
I have expertise in investigation and a ridiculous stat spread.
Yes, these are all true statements. Also, you're level 13. So, all these things combined. So, the first barrel you go to examine, you don't even need to open up. You're able to tell from, like, residue that's kind of sort of leaking out a little bit because it wasn't sealed 100% well. That barrel seems to have some kind of oil in it. As you look at the other barrels, you see that, well, all the ones in this stack appear to be oil. That stack appears to be a different oil that's a bit more viscous. And this barrel here, well, that's different oil that appears to be more watery, but it definitely smells like oil. This one here is vinegar. That barrel is vinegar.
But are any of them bile?
You do not find any barrels that appear to be filled with blood or vomit. That is a different campaign entirely.
Indeed.
And it very quickly becomes obvious as you are investigating that these barrels are sorted by their ingredients. So all the ones that have one viscosity of oil are in one spot, and so on and so on.
Convenient.
Well, if you're going to be doing some cooking and you're looking for the olive oil, you don't want to accidentally take WD-40, which isn't even an oil, and put that in the pan instead.
And also, there sure is a lot of WD-40 here.
No, there's only like 2 or 3 cans of it.
Uh-huh.
Although only one of them has the little red straw thing still.
Well, that's how these things work.
Okay. Next up is A, who is going to run over to where Tex is. Next up is Tex.
Why don't you hop on, A? This will be easier.
A takes a moment to parse that and realize that Tex was not talking to somebody else.
Aww.
Telling them to hop on A.
Commas, the perils thereof.
Let's eat grandma and let's eat grandma. Commas save lives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do not hop on pop.
Do not hop on pop.
Do not hop on pop.
No!
When the warlock casts shatter. To prevent a boarding party. A does in fact grab onto convenient handholds, which might not actually look like handholds, but A is rude.
Yes.
Okay.
Whee!
Aww.
A does not wave a little cowboy hat around as Tex takes off, but A may or may not be adding a little cowboy hat to the list of things they wish to buy after this arc is over.
How tall are the walls? Like, looking up this little box canyon.
They vary. At some spots, it's like 20 feet, 25 feet, somewhere in there. It's not a straight edge across the top. This is going into the natural mountain.
Right.
When you look at the part where it becomes more clearly aftermarket edition, that particular wall goes up. Let's see, look at the rest of this. I would say like maybe 15 feet up. It does not stop at a crenulation. Okay. It just stops at a straight line.
Gotcha.
Crenulation, not crenulation. Either way, it's not there. As the crow flies, it's very easy right now. Sorry? You're holding.
I'm going to hold here for right now.
Okay. Is it everyone's intention to catch up to Tex?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone catches up to Tex. Does anyone want to do something before Tex does a thing?
Does someone want bardic inspiration? Does Tex want bardic inspiration?
Only if it's really, really quiet.
I can probably inspire quietly.
No, I think I'm good for right now.
All right.
For now. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wait. That's the wrong vibe. Okay. So everyone's caught up to you, Tex. What do you do now?
A, please hold on. Everyone, I will be in a position to help better in a moment.
Oh, dear.
A, hold on.
Uh-oh.
We all look at the peerless athlete showing up in the the chat thing. Advantage on strength, dexterity, strength of athletics, and dexterity acrobatics checks. Can carry, push, drag, and lift twice as much weight as normal. And the distance of your long and high jumps increases by 10 feet.
So, dear listeners, okay. If you are not old enough to know of the Bionic Man and Bionic Woman shows that existed on TV back in the day, look them up. And there is a certain sound effect that was used in those shows. The characters in the scene hear that sound effect now. Tex, what are you doing?
Gliding with at least one wall, apparently.
Versus.
I am going here. I can't ping it.
Well, that's annoying. You want to jump over the wall, though, right? Ah, okay.
Yes.
So you're going to end up there.
Yes.
Okay.
Taking A
coming along for the ride. I'm leaving, and I'm taking A with me.
Aww.
So, let's see. Give me an athletics check.
Okay. My high jump, for the record, is 18 feet right now.
Yes. I want to see if you stick the landing.
Is it a sticky landing?
We'll see based on the roll.
Mm.
With a 21, you stick the landing. With a 12, A lands.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Not poorly. Well, okay, yes, poorly, but not so poorly that A, like, lands on the other side of the wall taking fall damage. No, A is just no longer using the convenient handholds. A is sitting on their butt next to Tex.
Aw, poor A.
Sorry about that. I thought you had a firmer grip.
So did I.
And Tex will lean back down over the wall and extend a hand. Here, allow me.
Well, A is on the same side of the wall as you. But are you?
Yes, I'm speaking to Hobby.
Okay. Hobby, give me acrobatics at advantage. Cavill does not need to roll because Cavill has flight.
Yes.
Okay, with a 17, you very easily climb up to the point where you can grab Tex's hand and scooch your way over the rest of the way.
Spring.
You wall walk up to the point where you can grab hold of Tex's hand.
Mm-hmm. I'm a rogue. I could have done this one myself, but it is always good to have a hand.
And Cavill is also
you would have had disadvantage.
Yes, because it's wet and horrible.
Okay. Everyone is on the walkway. You defeated my... You have to go through the room with three giant robots puzzle. By turning on no clip. Okay, so where you are now, there is... the hallway goes into the mountain to the east, but you also have a door to the north, and if you go across a small bridge, a door to the south.
The door to the south, I think, leads to one of the buildings with the emerald constructs in it.
Yes, although that one only seemed to have one.
I'm going to draw a circle.
You should be able to ping now. Can you ping?
No, I just had I had the circle tool turned on.
Oh. yeah, I see. Well, I don't because you removed the circle.
I'm heading up here to the door.
Okay. It is locked.
I am stepping back to allow the rogues to do their job.
Okay. Hobby, you're up.
Hobby will pit-pat up and do the sleight of hand.
With a 22.
Will a... Yeah.
With a 22, what happens is you even prevent it from doing the ka-chunk sound because you knew it was coming. So you ease the tumbler into place.
Mm-hmm. I don't just give a little shove. I make sure that I have another lockpick under there to catch that tumbler and slow it down nice and easy. Chink.
All right. This particular tumbler is tagged Swator.
Well, it's a tumbler after all. Which one is tagged Sith Shenanigans?
I haven't been on Tumblr in years. The last time I tried, my password didn't work, and the reset your password button didn't load. So Tumblr doesn't want me anymore. It's fine. Anyway, do you open the door?
I'm not opening the door. I'm stepping back so that somebody else can open the door.
Okay. Cavill, what would you like to do?
Cavill would like to go up so that they are hidden from the door when the door opens.
All right. A decides that if everyone's lining up outside the door, A is going to get in line as well. So now we have a line of three characters in a row.
Good idea.
And Magpie is also there. Tex, it is your turn again.
Heroically, I open the door.
All right. You see a juror.
Hello. My name is Tex. You appear to be dead.
The juror does appear to be non-functional. It is in a slight state of disassembly, but it appears to not yet be totally taken apart to see how it ticks. It's only a few access panels that what's inside doesn't seem to have been disturbed much. This room, which is a room that extends more to the east and west than north and south, is full of alcoves that have crates in them. To the north, east corner of the room, there appears to be a bedroll that is, let's just say the person who was sleeping there does not seem to make their bed regularly, or just didn't do that this morning. The room is lit with some type of gas-fueled torch over on the east wall, and it is very apparent that in its original construction, this room was likely a crypt with how the alcoves are arranged. There do not appear to be any bodies interred in here at the moment unless you count the juror. Oh, and for the record,
somewhat alarmed.
And for the record, because you've encountered different kinds of jurors, this is more like the newer juror you fought that had a brain in it. It's that kind of construction.
They're more umber hulky than I expected them to be.
This is the model that I used for the last.
Yeah, I just didn't remember it.
Ah,
I guess I just didn't zoom in on it very far.
It's also, Foundry isn't doing it because Foundry doesn't like animated GIFs on the map. But that source art, I got from a place where you can get like open source licensed video art for video games, and it's animated. Mm. It has a walking animation, which is kind of neat. I'll post it later. It would be disturbing if this was walking because it's dead.
Yes.
All right.
I'm making a mental note to take it back with us if we get the opportunity.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my turn.
That takes us to Hobby. Hobby, to the north is a door. It is open. The inside is not wet.
Sneak.
Sneak. You are in the dry. Sneak. You are the wettest being in here. Because Texas made of metal and ceramic composites, therefore does not absorb moisture very well.
Sigh. What is in these crates?
Well, the lids are not nailed shut, so you can very easily just like lift the lid of one of them and you see, oh, this one has rations. There's various bundles of cooking ingredients, canned goods. The one you just moved over to is 3/4 of the way full of ramen.
Ah.
Looks like there's the food.
We found Ron's hideout.
Hobby wants to check all of them and see if there's anything that looks tasty.
Well, the one you just opened happens to have, it's got smaller containers in it, which are various meats that are preserved in a way that makes them shelf stable. You are looking at a tin of sardines.
Well, if I can open it quietly, I am going to have sardine breath.
Give me a dexterity roll. A dexterity check. No, sleight of hand. It could be sleight of hand.
I'll do sleight of hand instead.
With a 28, only you hear the click and sound of a can where you're turning that tiny little key that comes with it.
I mean, after all, I'm a tabaxi. I'm probably attuned to the sound of cans opening.
It's quite possible.
I will use my invisible mage hand cantrip to slide little sardines out of the can so that I do not get my fingers wet, and I will eat them. Munch, 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 quietly.
Okay. I'm going to make a roll real quick. Don't mind me.
Okay. I'm concerned.
Okay.
I hope that if that was a problem, I hope that was a disadvantage because I just saw 2 dice.
Yes, you saw 2 dice, and we're not going to worry about that right now. But I am going to ask Cavil what Cavil is doing.
Well, this room doesn't seem exactly useful to us right now.
It's currently someone's bedroom, and before that was a final resting place, which wasn't so final, because removed.
So Cavil is going to make their way over here and wait for other members of the party to potentially kick down the door.
Okay. For A's turn, A is going to scamper after Cavil, because it's been established that that room is safe-ish, but Cavil's going off towards the unknown, so A is following Cavil. As A catches up to Cavil, there is a thud that if Cavil was on the ground, Cavil would feel it through the ground. Hobby and Tex do feel it, although a little bit more subdued because you're further away. And the door to the south opens, and the golem starts to climb through. This is difficult because the doorway was not necessarily built for a golem of this size. It may have been assembled in the room, but it is crouching down and extending one arm out and then adjusting its shoulder equivalence to angle through the door as it's coming through, blocking Cavil's view of the rest of the scene because it's crawling out directly in front of Cavil. And that is where we are going to end it for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Oh, by the way, this thing seems to be a bit larger than the other ones you've encountered. The other ones should be able to fit through the doorway just fine. Just a little bit larger. My name is Crash. I was your GM for this evening. Tonight, I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, and Io, and earlier, Jen, although Jen was not able to make it for the second half. Who wants to plug a thing?
Io's Mom Writes Books, ElizabethMcCoy.com. And check them out. Some of them might actually be entertaining to you, you know. I don't have any Warforged, but I've got remote-controlled luggage carts, so that's in Queen of Roses. And speaking of cool stuff, we should speak of books. We should speak of BookofGen.net.
BookofGen.net and ShatteredSoulstone.com are the places where Jen posts cool stuff, yes. And speaking of websites, I take all the stuff that I do and put it at AaronBSmith.com, including all the podcasts, a few TTRPG stuff, things that I make that aren't podcasts, and you know everything else, links to my social media, etc. You can also follow us on the socials, as the kids say these days. I think the kids say that these days. I don't know what the kids are saying these days.
I have
days.
No idea.
Last time I asked one of them, they said something about skibbity and they had to use the bathroom. I don't know what's going on these days. Whatever. It's fine. Let them be them. Back in my day, we said stuff like spiffy and groovy, but never mind.
And then there was Wicked. And
isn't that a Broadway play?
I mean, it is now, but for a while, Wicked was good. And then Sick became good. I don't understand.
And then there was Bad, which was a Michael Jackson song. Anyway, you can follow us on social media if you go to is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel. Well, you can if your social media happens to be on the Fediverse. If it's not, then find a better social media. There, I said it. Also, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shen Shen, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And last recording we did, there was, which might not end up being released in chronological order when these go live, but whatever, there was talk about how maybe patrons could ask questions because commenting is turned on for these, and we may or may not respond in character voices, which we do anyway sometimes. And Tuxa, I see you over there by the craft services table. Don't deny it.
Whoa!
I thought I saw trajectory as well, but that might have just been an after image.
The capybara is hiding under the table.
And until next time, this is Crash saying,
Bee-fi-fo-thumb! Oh, that sounds way better with a booming voice. I don't have one of those.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I mean, I could appear in the game if you want me to.